Heavenly Father and our God, we're blessed yet to be in the land of the living. And we're thankful that you blessed us, that we might be a blessing to others. Thank you for your special blessing to the whole world, even Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, Father, we pray that you would continue to bless us as we go on our way, that we'll not only be able to share a portion of that which you've given to us, our finances, but we'll have a giving and loving heart toward all those you put in our path, that you may be glorified and the church may be edified. It's in the precious name of your Son, Jesus, we pray, and the church said, amen.
The next voice you hear after the choir shall be that of our preacher for the morning.
Yes, it is.
He's my shelter in the storm and out of the storm. He is everything I need. Thank you, choir. Thank you. Bow with me for just a moment. Our God, our Father, we're so very grateful for this time that you give to us together in worship. We're grateful, our God, for your spirit presence that lights on us right now. Thank you for this choir. Thank you for willing hearts and souls and minds. Now take this word and plant it in our hearts that we may not sin against you. Let it swell up in us and cause us to be richer in our service, our giving, our sharing. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. 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 I feel like it was either Henry Ford or John D. Rockefeller. Someone asked them, acknowledging the fact that they were very rich men, said, "When is it enough?" And one of them responded, said, "Just a little bit more." And as I listen to this beautiful choir, I heard them at 8, I'm just thinking to myself, just a little bit more. Thank you. Good morning to Second Baptist Church at San Antonio, Texas. I'm awfully glad to be here. I'm awfully glad to be with you and your pastor in service today. This is not my first time to the church, but this is my first time making my way to the pulpit other than 8 o'clock this morning. And I'm awfully grateful for the opportunity. Your pastor, a very fine man.
Amen.
Wait a minute. You're supposed to let some... Well, a very fine man. We were in a conversation at breakfast, and we were talking about our first church. He talked about his, I talked about mine. And as we talked, there were just too many similarities. And turned out we served the same church as our first church, the Union Mission Church at Crozet, Virginia. It's about 15 miles west of Charlottesville. I bring you greetings from the American Baptist Churches in the United States of America. That's abcusa.org. I serve as executive minister of Region of the South, which represents 15 states in the southern part of the United States, Texas being one of those states. As a matter of fact, this is our western boundary. We serve in Region of the South just about 250 churches, congregations. But our national denomination, American Baptist Churches USA, serves about 5,500 congregations across the country, and Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands included. We are pleased to be here, and part of my trip is to say thank you. It's something my mama taught me before I went to school. We were taught to say thank you. And I want to say that on behalf of our denomination to Dr. Jimerson and the members of the Second Baptist Church for your support and interest, and even sending Dr. Jimerson to our meetings and sessions. He's made a very valuable contribution. And I like being in his company. I don't care how bad I feel or what I might be going through. Dr. Jimerson is one of those people who will put a smile on my face.
And I certainly appreciate that. You need somebody in your life that isn't draining you all the time, but can make you smile. Several years back, I had a deacon who was diagnosed as being terminal. And he called me up to tell me that he had been diagnosed as being terminal. And he said he had started a new ministry as of that day that the doctor delivered that news. And that was that he would call me every day to give me something that would lighten my load, to make me smile. And he did that until he died. And what a blessing he is or was, and also to Dr. Jemison. I'll say this for the benefit of the Reverend Jackson. One of the greater parts of pastoral ministry for me was to have a mentor in ministry from the first day, and we buried him in 2014 at the age of 91. Reverend Raymond Allen Hales grew up in Tabernacle Church in Petersburg, Virginia. That was a blessing to me to have a mentor to serve and to be with me in ministry. You know, we need somebody. And I don't care how proficient and efficient and proficient you become, you can use the voice of or the reasoning of someone who has gone along that road. And so that mentor became very, very important. Again, I want to just reiterate again my thank you to you for your annual contribution to our denomination. I can assure you that it is put to good use in missions. We serve in with missionaries commissioned in 54 countries around the world. Those of you who want more information about our denomination, I want you to go to abc.usa.org. abc.usa.org. My office is at Baltimore, Maryland, so I've come a long way. And I'm not going to bore you, but I want for just a little bit while I'm here to look at Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 5. Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 5. I'm going to read that and see what we can glean out of it. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. You may be seated. I still have in my mind that music, and I want to share before I get started with this 11:5 passage. But I was called upon to define faith. And I thought about it for a while, and I wanted to make a statement that was beneficial to those persons who were sharing with me something that they could take and chew on and gain some nourishment from it. You know, a lot of things that I say, you know, may not last very long, but I wanted to say something this time that would last them. And so after some thought, faith for me is a series of levels. The first level is belief. You start your faith journey by believing something. You know, I saw the sun come up the other day, and it's easy for me to believe that there's a God somewhere. I saw the tide waters go out, and I saw them come back in. It's easy to believe that there's a God somewhere. Counted some stars in the sky the other night. It's easy to believe. But the second level is that of trust. And each level for me gets a little tougher, a little tougher. And most of us are living somewhere around the level of trust. We're learning how to trust. I heard the choir say, if you trust him, he'll be your shelter. And so we are learning how to trust God. We believe that's easy. Anybody will believe because of what we see and what we experience. But trust is a little more difficult. And if we learn to trust God, if we just learn to trust him, we can obey him. You know the reason I could obey my mama? Because I learned to trust her. When she said do it and I didn't do it and she whipped me that first time, I learned to trust that her word was sure and that she would do what she said she was going to do. So there's belief, trust, and obedience. And I've added a fourth level to that, and that is the level of blessing. But all too often, we want to get to blessing before we've gone through belief, trust, and obedience. But these are the levels, and the combination of them is what makes up my faith experience. And let's look at several classes of people here who also have faith experience. Those of you who wish to be re-familiarized with this passage, John is in jail and things are not looking too good. The guards are going back and forth and they are whispering one to the other, and John gets a glimpse of, he overhears a little something. Something about a head being chopped off. And John puts two and two together. He's the only prisoner there. It must be his head. And so John does what we used to do. We don't have to do it anymore. But in rural communities where I grew up, in Spring Grove, Virginia, on the James River, just south of Jamestown and Williamsburg, we would send for people that we needed to talk to. Little children were couriers. That's what I was growing up. I was a cell phone. Granddaddy would send me to the house when he was in the field to tell Grandma to do something. Grandma would send the message back to him, and sometimes I'd get them messages crossed up going back and forth. Just depends on which field Granddaddy was in. Well, John sends his disciples to find Jesus. We're counting on Jesus. We're looking for a Messiah. We're looking for someone to turn this thing upside down and around, to set things right, to put Rome in their place. Looking for a warrior Messiah, somebody that's going to kick Rome out of Jerusalem, out of Palestine. And Jesus doesn't drop what he's doing. You know, if someone thought that much of me, I'd try to live up to it. But Jesus doesn't drop what he's doing. But instead, he sends a message back to John and said, John, I want you to consider this. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor. And incidentally, this message is about the poor and the gospel. The poor are having the gospel preached to them. The poor. As I look at these classes of persons, each of them in some way has some sort of a weakness or disability or some crippling agency. They're quite interesting because in this particular passage, the answer to each of their issues is enumerated here. The blind needs sight. That's what they need. Deaf need hearing, lame need mobility, lepers need cleansing, and the dead need to be refurbished or given new life. They're dull, they need to be stimulated, and here it is, the poor who need the gospel. The other interesting thing about this little passage, each of these classes or categories of ailment can lead to poverty, can lead to being lost or the least or last. Each of them can be considered poor. And so it is, not only the poor in a broad scope need and stand in need of the gospel, but the blind need the gospel, the deaf need the gospel, lame need the gospel, the leper, the dead, the dull need the gospel. And the gospel for us is more than good news. The gospel is the story of our Messiah, our Christ, and how he was dead, but now how he's resurrected and alive in my members, in me, in my mind. You ask, how do I know he lives? He lives in me. Every time I draw a breath, he lives in me. In my mind, he lives in me. In my thoughts, in my hands, he lives in me. And so it is, these categories, each, I think, is not necessarily relegated to physical ailments. We want to think that the blind are those who cannot see, those who are destitute of sight, but I'd like to expand it a little bit here. It's more than being destitute of sight. The original sense of this word was not or had nothing to do with being sightless at all, but simply being confused. And as we look around our country, our city, our state, we find so many who are blind, who are confused, following folk blindly or in a confused state. I read often about the story of Jim Jones, and I keep asking myself, how could people follow this man in this way to this extent? And we see it every day. Every day, the blind, confused. And what that amounts to is the confused leading the confused. My. I ought not tell this. I ought not tell it. I ought not to tell it. I've got some relatives that are following the blind. Went to their house and saw a big sign and was hurt. We had an opportunity several years ago, all of us, to vote for the first Black American president and maybe the only every black person in the United States of America, in Canada, in Mexico, ought to have voted to make sure that this happened. I hope I'm not on dangerous ground. I got a little fast car outside in the parking lot. I may have to use it when I leave here. But not only are there the blind, but the deaf refusing to hear. It's more about refusing to hear than the capacity or the ability of hearing. It's more about refusing to listen. If you do a little etymological study of this infinitive verb to listen, you'll find that it mirrors or it is the brother to the infinitive verb to obey. So to obey is the same as it is to listen. Jesus was always listening to the Father. Jesus was always obeying the Father. To listen is to obey That's why our foreparents used to say, listen, boy, listen. In other words, obey, obey, obey. But there's a class who refuses to hear, who refuses to listen, and ultimately refuses to obey. But the gospel speaks to that debilitating weakness. The gospel is what cures me. It is what cures you. The lame, the crippled, the weak. It is usually weak in the limbs. My hands are usually considered crippled, or my feet. These are my service limbs. Many who remain with the church who are really lame, who are crippled, because we refuse to be in service for our God. But the gospel is for us. It energizes us. It heals us. It quickens us to deliberate service. It quickens us to actualize our purpose as believers in Jesus the Christ. It is the gospel that wakes us up. It's the gospel that gives us energy to serve. It's the gospel. And even those of us who are dead or dull, or I like to add another word, the indifferent. These are us who pull the shades of all of the troubles in the world, in our neighborhoods, in our communities. We shut the door to our families. Indifferent. You don't care one way or the other. That is the most dangerous group in any organization, including the church. The indifferent. We don't care what happens one way. These are the folk who don't vote, because they don't care one way or the other. These are the folk that won't go to the poll. You know, that's a spiritual responsibility to vote in the United States of America. It's spiritual to vote, to take advantage. Folk have died so that you would have that right, and you pass that by. But the gospel is for all of us. The gospel is for those who are confused. The gospel is for those of us who refuse to hear and to obey. The gospel is for those of us who are crippled in our limbs. The gospel is for those of us who need cleansing, particularly our minds. I submit that if you get your mind right, your limbs will follow. If you get your mind right in the church, your body will follow. If you get your mind right, everything else will follow. And so the gospel is a gospel of the mind. It's got to be at your mind. I know we like to talk a lot about the heart, but if you can get it at your mind, you've got to want to do right. You can't just wish it, but you've got to want to do right. And so John is worried here. And John has great cause to be worried. But Jesus wants John to know that this thing is bigger than he is. And John, whatever happens with you is of little consequence, but the gospel needs to get through. When we read, study to show yourself approved, a workman who need not be ashamed, in Timothy, what we're saying is, clear the road so that the gospel can come through. And so what Jesus does here for John is helps him to understand that the gospel is more important than anything else that we do. It's more important than your issues. It's more important than what your selfish ambition is. The gospel. We are here to make a way for the gospel. Because it's good for the poor. It's good for me. It's good for the blind. It's good for the deaf. It's good for the lame. It's good for the leper. It's good for all of us. The gospel more than good news. It's the story, the life of Jesus the Christ and how he lived and died. But now he's alive forevermore. Got up one Sunday morning and declared that all power was in his hands. It's the gospel. He is the embodiment of the gospel. He walks and talks and breathes the gospel. It opens blinded eyes. It unstops deaf ears. It unscrambles scrambled tongues. It straightens out crippled limbs. And wherever I find myself in that list, I know that the message of Jesus the Christ is good for me. And so today I come looking for the gospel. I heard Mahalia sing the other day, I'm standing in the need of prayer, but I'm standing in the need of the gospel. It is the gospel that's going to liberate my mind. It's the gospel that's going to regulate my heart. It's the gospel that walks with me and talks with me, and every now and then it tells me that I am his own. The gospel of Jesus the Christ. I love the gospel. I need the gospel. I pray the gospel. God bless you this morning. We stand in need of the gospel of Jesus the Christ. Let us pray. God of grace and might, we love you. We thank you. We need you. We trust you. Come to us and come now to be with us and in us, that we may effect change in the communities in which we live, in our own lives, and even in the lives of others. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
And all the people of God said amen. Amen. Did not the preacher preach? Thank God for the foolishness of the gospel, and thank God for the preaching of the gospel. Don't know about you, but I was blessed by the preaching of the gospel and the manner in which the preacher proclaimed the word of God. Thank you. Souls shall be saved by the preaching of the gospel. We invite you to make Jesus Christ your choice. Preacher has preached. He has opened up our eyes. He has opened up our ears. He has cleansed and told us the manner in which we can be cleansed. We invite you to come. Church is standing, the choir is singing. Our invitation to discipleship. I surrender. Yeah, we see you coming. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. We see you coming. Thank you. We see you coming. So glad Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, but Jesus lifted. Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. In glory high. The old folks used to say,
know too much about it. Just lift it be. Know too much about it. Down here, Jesus lifted me. You can't take me down here. Jesus lifted me. You can't take me down here. Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me.
Satan had me bound. Lord our God, we give you thanks for this family, for this mother, and for these two daughters. We ask for your power, your strength, your courage to be in them. We pray for the new life that is in the mother, that it shall come forth and that all dreams will come to fruition. Bless where they live. Bless what they do, that they may bring glory and honor to your name. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. This young lady plays saxophone, right? Yes. All right. She plays saxophone. We're going to send you up there to Miss Curry. And why don't you take her to Miss Curry? Who will take her to Miss Curry? All right. Thank you, Miss Curry. They'll take you to Miss Curry. Miss Curry, we're going to get that ensemble started back again. Amen. The Lord has sent you a saxophonist. Amen. Thank you. And you sing, right? You're an usher. Okay, got an usher, okay, all right, thank you. And Mom, you did tell me you sang in the choir.
I said I was going to work in the children's ministry.
You're going to work in the children's ministry, okay. Have some working in the children's ministry. Rem Jackson, would you come claim the worker in the children's ministry? We welcome you, we're glad that you're here. Yes, Deacon.
Reverend Jimison and members of Second Baptist, we have coming to... For membership at Second Baptist, we have Master Josiah Duhart. He wishes to become a member based on his Christian experience. And we have his stepfather, Mr. Howard Franklin, who comes for prayer.
Mr. Franklin, thank you. Welcome. Josiah, we are proud of you, man. We're proud of your involvement in our after-school program.
You are the champion that we need, okay? I see championship in your eyes. Serving the true and mighty God is the first step in being a champion for Christ. Amen? So we welcome you. We're glad that you're here. We look forward to the work that you're going to do in this church. You sing, play drums, or what's
singing in the choir at my old school.
You singing in the choir at his high school, at your school?
No, in my old church.
In your old church. Well, welcome. Choir member? Somebody from the choir? Y'all been talking about choir members? All right. Thank you, Jada. Jada, take him over there with you. Well, after I pray for you, brother. After I pray for you. After I pray for you. After I pray for you. All right, Brother Franklin, welcome. Good to have you. Thank you for coming for prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks for Josiah. We thank you. We pray that you would anoint him this day for the service and ministry that you would have him to provide in the Second Baptist Church. As he grow, may he grow in wisdom and knowledge about understanding of who you are and what this moment means to him and what it means to the body of Christ that we call Second Baptist. We pray for Mr. Franklin that you would honor his faith, that you would honor his requests, that you would lift him to whatever heights he chooses to go. We pray that wherever he works, wherever he lives, wherever they work and wherever they live, that you would be the head of that house. Grant them greater faith and grace. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. And so, Lord, we pray your blessings upon all who assemble in this place today, that you would give us courage to be more faithful, to open our eyes that we may see, to open our ears that we may listen, that our sins may be washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that we may be resurrected from our places of complacency. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. Thank you. Welcome. Thank you. We're praying for our sister. We're asking God's blessings upon the life of the Merle, that she would lift her and give her that she needs. Amen, amen, amen. How's she doing, Sister Davis? Is she better? She's better. All right. Thank you, thank you. Do not forget, all of us are welcome to go over. We can't multiply the chicken, but we can be in fellowship. Amen. So please come and go with us. New members, it's your honor. So you can take a guest with you, whoever you choose. I see your mom. Welcome, my dear. We're glad that you're here. This is my group from Chicago, from the west, huh? The west side. I'm south side. We know. Welcome, welcome. Good to have you. Thank you, thank you. We're ready to go. Reverend Dr. Harrison, would you give us our benediction? Come on, let's give this preacher another hand of praise for the great preacher. The church is standing.
Again, let me thank you for a wonderful experience of being with you, visiting with you. I look forward to circling the region and visiting again. And I'm going to always make San Antonio one of my longer stops. How about that? Is that all right? If you're ever in Virginia, stop by and see me. I'm at Smithfield, 517 Main Street. We've got some ham there, and we don't mind sharing it. Wardney, Luters, you name it. We don't mind sharing it. Just take your little blood pressure. We're looking forward to it. Thank you so much. Our God and our Father, we certainly appreciate this time that you have given to us, the attention, the searching of our hearts and minds. It's time now that we should be dismissed, but our prayer is, earnestly we pray, that we're never dismissed from your presence. Keep us. And if you keep us, we will be kept to do your work, your service. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we say. Amen. Amen. Go in peace.